in that passage that he began in, and I trust the Lord to do a great, great work. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Well, they really came for the moon pies. Let's just be honest, right? And Dr. Enough, be honest. How many of you really like Dr. Enough? Would you raise your left hand, please? Your other left. Good. How many of you can't stand it? Would you raise your right hand, please? Yes. How many of you are trying to be politically correct and don't want to vote? Would you raise both hands, please? Yeah. I got a friend in this area that loves it. I mean, he loves it. And the first time I ever tried it, I thought I was going to choke to death. And I'll stick with the moon pie tonight, I think. Oh, we've had a good day today, a good day in the Lord and in God's Word, and I'm most encouraged to see you back in this hour. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness to be with God's people. Let's open our Bibles, would you please, in the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah. And find your place in Isaiah chapter number 35, this brief, powerful chapter on when God has His way. It's a picture, of course, of the millennial reign of Christ and what will be fulfilled someday. Everything God foretells, He fulfills. And He does it perfectly. He does it completely. There's a great principle here in this chapter, and it is this, that when we allow the Lord to have His way, when we find God's way and get on it, God does much more than we could ever imagine. Let's read again, beginning in verse number 1, where the Bible says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes." Would you read verse 8 aloud with me, church? "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." If you've not done it already, I'd like for you to mark in verse 8 these three times: an highway, a way, the way. In ancient culture and civilization, it was very difficult to find good roads. We take a lot for granted, don't we? Unless you live in Michigan and they still don't have good roads. But other than them, we are the blessed beneficiaries of good transportation and good roads, and we don't think too much about it. Your tax dollars hard at work, somebody said. We get on a road and we travel. The Romans, of course, were famous for building their system of roads all over the civilized world, and things have developed to a point where we just have such high expectations. But in ancient civilization, there were not always good roads, and especially at the time that we're studying in the book of Isaiah, the northern kingdom of Israel has been invaded by the Assyrians. They've been carried away captive, and the Assyrians have literally destroyed everything in their path. And now Judah is facing the Babylonian captivity and the same kind of destruction and exile. Turn back one page in your Bible. Look at Isaiah chapter 33 just for a moment. And this is what I'm talking about. Look at Isaiah 33 verse 8. "The highways lie waste." Mark that in your Bible. He said, our roads are destroyed. The enemy has torn up the roadways. "The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man," that's the same expression he'll use in our verse, "the wayfaring man ceaseth." That's a picture of the traveler. In other words, the traveler can't get around. You can't get from point A to point B with ease. It's difficult because the roads have been destroyed. It's a road to nowhere. Years ago in California, they built a bridge that famously got called the Bridge to Nowhere. They built a bridge and spent millions of dollars on it, and it literally ended nowhere. They never continued the road. Isn't that just like sin? It promises some trip, but it ends nowhere. I read this week that in Asia somewhere, maybe it was Australia, they're offering flights to nowhere now. How many of you saw that? Anybody see it in the news? People that love to travel are so sick of being quarantined at home, they've started selling airline flights where you get on a plane at your home airport and they fly you around for a couple of hours and you fly right back in the same place you took off and go home just to get it out of your system, you know. Now that's pointless. It's a flight to nowhere. And that's the way the highways were. They led nowhere because they'd been destroyed. Now go back to our verse and look at it. And God comes along and the Lord says, Would you like to go my way? Would you like there to be purpose and direction for your life? Look at verse 8. He says, "And highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness." This morning I said to you that when God has his way, it is a healing way. That's really what you find in verse 1 down to verse number 7. God's healing the land, and he's healing the people, and he's bringing people back into fellowship with him. Hear me, church. When God has his way, it is not only a healing way, it is a holy way. You see, when the Lord brings us back into right relationship with himself, that's not the end, that's the beginning. Listen to me. God cleanses and forgives so that you can be a different person, not feel better about being the same person. When a person is thoroughly made right with God, they don't persist in their sin. They don't go right on like they always did. They don't seek their own way. No, no. They found a better way. They found the Lord's way. And when God has his way, it is always the way of holiness. This phrase has been in my spirit over the last few days personally. I'm talking about me now, not you. I've been thinking a great deal about the holiness of God. It's sad, really, but you hear so little about the holiness of God today. Why is that? Why is it that it seems like there's so little discussion about holiness in our world? In fact, most people associate the word holiness with some exterior purity, with some outside thing that you see, and somebody says, well, that's holiness people. That's a holy people. No, no. Holiness is never about man. Holiness is always about God. If there's any holy thing in any of us, I'm going to guarantee you one thing. It's not you and it's not me. It must be Jesus. Paul said, in me, in my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. So there's any good thing in me, I've been made a partaker of his holiness. Who is our God? May I tell you who our God is? He's the holy God. Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, and he heard the song of glory. And what were they singing round the throne? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Holy is our Father, holy is the Son, and holy is the Spirit. Our God, the God of the Bible, the Creator of the universe, the Judge of all the earth, the Savior of mankind. I'm going to tell you about him. He's a holy God. And we like to preach against so many things. Maybe we need to start preaching for the holiness of God, because when you get a glimpse of the holiness of God, you not only see God like he is, you start seeing you like you are. And you're not content with your sin anymore, and you don't pet your sin, and you don't make excuses for your sin. Instead, like Isaiah, when he saw the Lord in his holiness, you say, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When you see God like he is, you say with Peter, "Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man." When you get a glimpse of the holiness of God, you lay down and play like a dead man like John at his feet, because you're in awe of the holiness of our great God. And I tell you, we need a fresh glimpse of our holy God. God is not more of one attribute than he is of another. He's the perfection of all of them. But could I suggest to you that holiness is the perfection of all of God's attributes? And that in Scripture, he's referred to as holy more than any other thing. Why is that? Because every part of our God is holy. His knowledge is holy. His power is holy. His presence is holy. His love is a holy love. His grace is holy grace. His mercy is holy mercy. Why? Because holiness is not what he does, it is who he is. And I say to you, we hear so little talk of holiness today and the holiness of our God because I think it puts us under conviction. We begin to realize how terribly sinful we are. John saw the same vision that Isaiah did in the revelation of Jesus Christ around the throne of God. And they were singing, and what were they singing? Holy, holy, holy. There's that thrice holy God again. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And John said, which was and is to come. Let me tell you something. He always has been holy. He is holy, and he always will be holy. And they can blaspheme his worthy name, and they can mock our precious Savior, and they can drag his name through the dust. Nobody ever cusses in Confucius' name. Nobody ever takes Buddha's name in vain. They hate the name of Jesus Christ because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But I tell you, they can spit in the face of the Holy Son of God, but they can take nothing of the holiness from him because you can't add anything to perfect holiness and you can't take anything away. Our God is a holy God. And if that is true, I say to you, God's way is always a holy way. And I came to ask you a question tonight. Are you on the way of holiness? Not just are you a Christian, not just do you believe what I just said about the holiness of God, but are you going God's way? Is there anything in your life that doesn't look like Jesus? The other day I wrote in the front of my journal that I write in each day this little prayer. Dear God, make me more like Jesus. I've been trying to pray it each day when I start my day and through the day. Do you know why? Because I keep looking in the mirror and seeing Adam instead of Jesus. I keep looking in the mirror of God's Word and seeing my old unholy, wicked, sinful, corrupt nature. And I say, oh Lord, deliver me from that and make me more like the lovely Son of God. You'll know revivals come to this town, not when the church house is full, but when you get full of the holiness of God. You'll know God is at work in this place, not when you have a good service, but when you get hungry and thirsty after righteousness and want to be filled with nothing and no one but the holiness of our great God. And I wonder, are you on the way of holiness? Let me show you something before we look at our verse. Turn over in Isaiah just for a minute to Isaiah chapter number 40. I think you'll recognize these verses because it's a prophecy of John the Baptist's ministry leading up to the coming of Messiah. Look at Isaiah 40 and verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Stop right there just a second. Can I tell you, the most difficult part in a revival meeting is not the revival. The most difficult part in a revival meeting is the preparation for God to do what he wants to do. In fact, I'd go so far as to tell you that revival is not hard at all. We speak of it like it's some mystical thing. It is spiritual. There's no doubt it's the work of God among us. But revival is not some mystical thing. Revival is simply God among his people. Revival's not hard. God can do more in a moment than we could in a thousand meetings. Revival's not the hard thing. The preparation is the hard thing. And the Lord says, get ready, get ready. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert. Mark this in your Bible, a highway for our God. In Isaiah 35, we're in the desert, we're in the wilderness, and God says, I'm going to build a highway. By the way, that's one of Isaiah's favorite terms. Read the whole book of Isaiah, and repeatedly he talks about the highway and the way and the road. It was a typology, a symbolism that he loved. Maybe he was a traveler. Maybe it's just the way that God led him to write it this way to us. But here's the point. Look, please, when you find the road that God travels on, you'll know you're going in the right direction. Because there's a highway here for our God. And then look at verse 4. Here's what God does with that road. Every valley shall be exalted. And every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. You know, I read this for years and missed this. Look at that verse. He says four basic things he's going to do in the construction of his highway, the construction of his roadway. Number one, he says every low place, every valley, I'm going to exalt that. Oh, I like that. Look, please, the Lord comes near those who humble themselves before him. So God says, when I find some low place, what I'm going to do, I'm going to reach down and I'm going to lift that one up. The Lord exalts those who get low. Maybe we haven't seen enough of what God wants because we haven't gotten low enough. We want to be high. God says, no, no, I'm near the lowly. God says, I'm going to come to the valley people, the people who've gotten in the low places and sought me there, and I'll exalt them. Oh, but that's not all. Look at the verse again. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. He said, if you think you're something and you lift yourself up, he said, I'm going to just bulldoze that. I'm going to bring that low. And then he says, the crooked shall be made straight. Do you know you're listening to a crook tonight? That's right, you're listening to a crook. And I'm looking at a bunch of crooks. So what do you mean, preacher? Do you know the word iniquity in the Bible? We read it, iniquity, iniquities. We read it and kind of don't think much about it. Somebody says, that's just sin. You know the word iniquity actually means? Crookedness. See, God is always straight down the line. God has a right standard. God's law never changes. But let me tell you what we are. We're a bunch of crooks. We change things. We move to the left. We move to the right. We're full of our own iniquity. Look at that verse. He says, I'm going to make a way, and the road I'm going to build is not going to be a crooked, curvy road. Excuse me. It's not going to be a West Virginia road. It's going to be a straight road. He says, I'm going to straighten every crooked thing out. And I'm thinking right now, oh, Lord, straighten out the crooked places in me. The crooked things in my character, in my nature, the crooked thoughts and motives and desires, everything, Lord, that doesn't walk your line, oh God, make that straight. I dare you to pray that. I challenge you to ask the Lord, Lord, show me the things in me that don't line up with you and make the crooked places straight. But that's not all. Look at it again. And the rough places plain. Some of you say, I got some rough places in me. Join the club. We all do. Let me tell you what the Lord does. The Lord, by His Spirit and through His Word, comes in. He starts smoothing all that out. Look what He's doing. He's building a highway for our God. He's building a highway of holiness that we can travel on. And I wonder, do you want that? Are we content to clean up for church, or do we want to be clean before God? Are we happy to say that we have attained a certain level of Christianity? I know who I'm preaching to, the Sunday night crowd tonight. Is there something in somebody in this room that says, oh Lord, I know God has more for me than I presently am living. Oh Lord, I want all that you have for me. I want the highway of holiness to be the path of my life. Oh Lord, lead me in that path. If it is, I want you to know God will start straightening some things out and smoothing some things out in your life, because that's the way He works. In the hills of West Virginia, they're in a big construction project now on the roadway, several $1 billion, and they're adding lanes and all that kind of thing. And I've been watching some of those huge things moving dirt around, and it's fascinating to me. Fascinating to me to drive through a tunnel like the one that's not too far from here and imagine the days before that tunnel when you had to go up and around and take the old road. And then what did they do? They came in and cut straight through the mountain and just made it a straight path. And we say, oh, this is really nice. This is really nice. Did it ever dawn on you that maybe there's some junk like that in God's way in our life, and the Holy Ghost of God is saying, I'd like to cut straight through that. I'd like to stop you going around it and avoiding it, and instead I'd like for you to hit it head on and see what God could do to put you on the highway of holiness. With that in mind, go back to our verse, and let me show you this highway tonight, this holy way. Number one, look at verse 8. The Bible says, and an high way shall be there. I'm reading it the way it should be read. Look at it. And an high way shall be there. Number one, would you write down, it's a raised way. Did you know that actually the word highway here, we use it kind of loosely. We say, out on the highway, but it could be down in the valley. But in this verse, the word for highway literally means a causeway, a raised way, something that was lifted up. You see, remember Isaiah 35 is set in the desert. It's set in the wilderness. And in the desert, the shifting sands were always moving, and they were obscuring the way. And if rain did come, flood waters would come. And so God says, I'm going to make a road for you. I'm going to make a way for you that no matter what's going on in the world around you, oh, I like this, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what they're saying on the news, and no matter what everybody else is doing, God says, I'm going to put you on a highway, on a raised way, so you can keep moving forward no matter what everybody else is doing. Sounds like Colossians chapter 3 to me. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. The hymn writer said it this way, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I came tonight to ask you, not how long have you been saved, but how high have you gone with the Lord? See, the Christian life is to be an ever-ascending life. Watch this. And distance and tenure in the Christian faith is not the same thing as ascending to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I wonder sometimes if some of us haven't gone the wrong direction in our spiritual life. Instead of getting nearer to the Lord, we've allowed ourselves to drift. We're wandering in the wilderness and the desert place when God has a raised way for us. The Bible says, and an highway shall be there. That's not all. Look at the verse again. And an highway shall be there and a way. A definite way. It's plain. Would you write down, there's not only a raised way here, it's a royal way. You see, in this day, if all the roads were destroyed, there was one road that was not. Anybody know what road it was? It was the King's Highway. In fact, they tell me that there were roads that were designated that only royalty and priests could travel on. They were pretty prejudiced about it. The commoners couldn't get on it. It was the King's Highway. It was the priest way. But God says, I'm going to make a way so that the common man, I love this, the common man, the erring man, the nobody man can get on God's way. Our king and our priest has made a way for us. Numbers chapter 11, verse number 22, there was a king's highway. It ran north and south. It was a supply line. George II, when colonial America first began, built a highway from Boston to Charleston, South Carolina. You know what they called it? They called it the King's Highway. You know why the King's Highway was important? Because that was the highway that the supply route went on. Look, get the picture in your mind. God says, I'm going to make a highway for you so that you have divine resources and all the king's supply at your disposal. The highway of holiness is not a highway where you're just eking through and trying to make it. You're living in God's abundance and glorious blessing because you found the highway of holiness. That's not all. Look at the verse again. And a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called, what's that word, church? The way. Is that capitalized in your Bible? How many of you is capitalized in your Bible? It is in mine. It's not only a definite article, but notice the capital T here, the way. And I'm thinking of John 14, 6 when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Would you write down, please, it's a restricted way. Oh, it's open to everybody, but it's restricted to those who be willing to come through Jesus Christ. Remember the redeemed and the ransomed of the Lord. We must come through Christ and Christ alone. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7, there's a broad way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But there's a narrow way over here, there's a straight way over here, and few there be that find it. Why? Because they're searching for their own way. Dear Lord, help us. We're living in a world where everybody's searching for their own way. There's only one way. His name is Jesus Christ. And when you come to know Christ as your Savior, He puts you on His way of holiness. And positionally, He gives you His righteousness and His holiness. And then God sees you. He didn't see that old hell-deserving, black-hearted sinner. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you from all sin. But practically, day by day, you must say to the Lord, now, Lord, let me live like I'm on your way. Let me live in the light of your holiness. Look at it, please. And a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And notice, the unclean shall not pass over it. In other words, God says, this is a way for people who are clean. They're clean. I want to ask you a deeply personal question tonight. Are you clean? I went to preach in a place recently. They'd had some COVID where I went to preach, and the pastor said to me, I've got a man picking you up at the airport, and he told me the man's name. He said, I want you to know he's clean. I understood what he meant by that. He doesn't have the sickness. He doesn't have the disease. He hasn't been around anybody that is. He's clean. That's all he had to say to me. He's clean. And I tell you, there's something sweet and precious just about being clean before God. Is your heart clean tonight? Is there any unconfessed sin in your life? How about that secret sin you've held for all those years? How about that besetting sin, that entangling sin in your life keeps getting you off track over and over and over again, and you've been making excuses for it and saying things like this, well, you know, it's just the way I am. Yeah? It's the way we all are. We're all sinners by nature. And you say, well, I'm better than I used to be. That's not the standard. Are you on the highway of holiness? And you may even say, well, you know, I'm better than most people in here. That's not the way God looks at us. And you categorize your sin, and you want to fuss at everybody's sins of the flesh. What about our sins of the spirit? Is there anger in you? Is there bitterness or unforgiveness? Recently, I said something. When I said it, the Holy Ghost said, That's miserable, but it's wonderful. You know what I mean? I don't like it when the Holy Spirit does that, but I like it when the Holy Spirit does that. Because at that moment, he reminded me, I can't do what I want to do and say what I want to say. I don't belong to me. I'm a child of Almighty God. And I wonder tonight, is there anything in you that is unclean, anything unholy, anything that isn't what it ought to be? If you want to go God's way, you said this morning, a whole bunch of you said this morning on your knees and standing all over this building praying that you wanted God to have his way. Well, I came tonight to tell you, God's not going to have his way until you and I get thoroughly clean before Almighty God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. By the way, you don't outgrow sin nature. You battle it to the day you die. Someday we become like Jesus. Isn't that going to be nice? Amen to that? You won't have to worry about it then, but until then you're going to deal with it. And I don't care what position you hold in the church and how much Bible you know. If there is sin in your life at this moment, you are holding back the blessing of God on your life, your family, and the work of God in this place. This is the highway of holiness. It's not all, look at our verse, it's not only a raised way and a royal way and a restricted way. But I like this, the Bible says the way of holiness. It's the right way. That's what it is. It's the right way. You know, I think sometimes we as Christians, we just really want our way. Let's just be real for a moment. We just want our way. I want what I want. I know what I like. I want it my way. And there's a God in heaven that says, oh, I had so much more for you. It's a shame you'd settle for the low road when I had the high road all mapped out for you. It's a shame that you're willing to wander through the desert when I had a raised way, an ascending road for you. The path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. Let me tell you what I've learned this week from Isaiah 35. I've learned that God's highway is always the way of humility, repentance, faith, and confession. That's what I've learned. That doesn't stop when you get saved. It starts when you get saved, and it continues all of your life. And that if you're going to walk the way of holiness, and you're going to be a holy man or a holy woman or a holy young person, there's only one way, and that is to come low before the Lord and say to God, dear God, be thorough with me. Get all the junk out of my life. Get me out of your way, and have your way with me. Turn over to Jeremiah just a second. Would you please, to Jeremiah chapter 6. Let me show you an interesting verse. It gets quoted sometimes out of context. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. The prophet Jeremiah says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. And sometimes we use that expression and talk about the good old days, but that's really not what he's talking about. Listen to me, church. When he says old, he doesn't just mean ancient, he means eternal. Let me tell you how old they are. They go all the way back to the Creator, God's ways. And then mark this phrase in your Bible, where is the good way? Could I take a church vote? I know you got a budget meeting next week. Let's get an early vote in. Let's take a church vote. How many of you would like the good way? Would you raise your hand? You want God's goodness? Then you must choose it. And you must choose it not once. You must choose it again and again. You must choose it every day. Where is the good way? And walk therein. I've marked in my Bible in verse 16 the word stand and the word walk. Look, please. There's a sense in which I must make my decision. I'm standing here. And there's also a sense in which I must advance and progress in this. I must walk forward. Look, you never get to the place in a holy Christian life where you can say, I arrived. Greatest Christian that ever lived said, I have not yet apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I wonder, have you lost that pursuit? Notice the sad end of verse 16. He said, if you do it, you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We will not. We're going to make our own way. And I fear that good church-going people have discovered a way that's not God's way. And we're living a lesser life than what God has for us. And I wonder, are there people in this room tonight that are hungry? Oh, Lord, I want all you have for me. Is there a Moses? Is there a Moses among us that would say, show me now thy glory, that I may know thee? Is there a David? Is there a David here tonight, a man after God's own heart, that would say, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God? Is there a Paul? Is there a Paul here tonight that would say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death? Is there a believer that says, I want to be made more and more at this moment a partaker of his holiness? One last verse. Go back with me to Ezra just a moment, would you? Here's our prayer for tonight. And by the way, I'm about to give a very unusual invitation. I'm going to ask you to make this your prayer. Look at Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8, verse number 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there. I wonder when the last time we really fasted was. We're pretty good at feasting. We're not so good at fasting. We're pretty good at feeding our flesh and giving our flesh what it wants. When was the last time you laid everything aside and sought God only? He said, we proclaimed a fast there. Ezra 8, verse 21, at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. God help us. God help us. We're more concerned about comfort and convenience than we are afflicting our souls. We want to be entertained to death. That's what we want. They stop professional sports for a little while and the world goes mad. You know why? Because we've set our sights on things below instead of things above. Our favorite television shows don't put out the new series. They're just playing reruns so we get bored. Dear Lord, forgive us. God says, I want you on my way. Ezra said, we're going to afflict ourselves, look at it, before our God to seek of Him. What are we seeking, church? A right way for us. Look at the end of verse 21. And for our little ones and for all our substance. That's all encompassing, isn't it? I want God's way for me. I want God's way for my children. I want God's way for everything He puts in my hand. Look, I want God's way for all of my life. This juncture in my life, when I look at this verse, I see faces in it. Any of you see any faces in it? I read that verse and I see Morgan and I see Lauren and I see Grant. And I think, oh God, I want a right way for Morgan. She's going to marry some boneheaded boy. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. I'd like the right way for her. And Lauren wants God's direction for her life. Oh, God, a right way for her. And that boy, 15 years old, is going to grow up to be a man and battle things in this world. I want a right way for him. Oh, God, get me so close to Jesus that my own little ones, my own children will say, we want the holy God our daddy serves. We want to go that way too, Dad. That's what we want for our lives. You want a revival? Don't expect a preacher to bring it. You want a revival? Don't just have a series of meetings. If you want a revival, start seeking God for a right way for you and for your children and for your substance. You know what's wrong with America? It's not political. Spiritual. And I don't care who wins the election. Excuse me, I do care who wins the election. But I don't care who wins the election. It's not going to change the spiritual problem in this country. The only thing that can do that is when some of God's people begin to get serious about seeking the Lord again. And the way to revival is the way of holiness. And the way to blessing is the way of holiness. And the way to victory is the way to holiness. And the way to see souls saved is the way of holiness. And if you want God to have His way, it's going to be a holy way. Adelaide Pollard was about 40. In a revival meeting one night, a prayer meeting, they called people to the front to pray, and saints of the Lord gathered around to pray. Adelaide said, "I, in the providence of God, knelt over in the altar next to a dear elderly woman who really knew God, and she knew how to talk to God. She said, I really tried to pray myself, but I had a hard time for listening to her. She said, because in the middle of my prayer, I heard that dear old saint groaning out to God, 'Oh God, help us now.'" Adelaide would later say, "I'd never heard anybody pray like that woman prayed. I never heard anybody pray with such abandon like that woman prayed." She said, "It was like I wasn't next to her. Nobody was around and nobody could hear her but God." And she said, "I think God heard her." She said, "It was like she was wrestling with the Lord for souls and for His work." And then Adelaide said she got to the end of her prayer and it was like she just came to a place of utter surrender. She said, "I know I shouldn't have done it, but," she said, "I peeked. I opened an eye and looked at her. And," she said, "I saw that sweet grandmother throw both hands in the air and say, 'Lord, why don't you just have your own way with us?'" Adelaide Pollard said, "I would never be the same again." She said, "I went home that night and all I could hear were those words, 'Oh Lord, why don't you just have your own way with us?'" She said, "I went to bed, but I couldn't sleep. And in the middle of the night, I got up and I took out a pen and a piece of paper." And she said, "I wrote these words. Maybe you've heard them. 'Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord. Wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, wounded and weary. Help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine." Alone in the hotel room this afternoon, I said to the Lord, "Thank you, Lord, for the way the people responded this morning. Very grateful, not only for how you listened, but how you responded to the message and prayed. But I'm coming to understand something, that the real response is not in the meeting. It's in the secret place. It's when we get home tonight. It's how we wake in the morning. It's what we'll pray through the day tomorrow. Oh Lord, give us some believers in this place, in this church that has such a heritage and has known such blessing for so long. Oh God, give us some believers in this place that will just throw themselves at the mercy of God and say, 'Oh Lord, why don't you just have your own way with us?'" And I tell you, you be a people like that and you will know the blessing that only God can give. You can't organize it. You can't work it up. You can't hype it. You can't promote it. You can't structure it. You can't plan it. You just get on God's highway. And I'm going to tell you, you get on God's highway, He starts getting stuff out of the way. And He leads you to be more like Jesus. Our Father, we truly want the Lord to have His way. Oh God, have your way with us. We sit still and quiet with our heads bowed and our hearts bowed before the Lord. There's always a connection between humility and holiness, always. And if you want the holy way, you must seek the humble way. Are you willing to humble yourself? How many of you are saved? Would you raise your hand? What does that mean? What does it mean to you that God saved you, washed you from your sins in His own blood, wrote your name down in heaven, made you His child? Dear Lord, we're sinners. What a sinful man I am. Yet I get to call Him Father, Holy Father. What does that mean to you, church? Is there someone tonight that would say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me." Would you raise your hand in the air with mine for a moment, long enough for me to see it? Say, "Pray for me. I need my sins forgiven. I need Christ. Pray for me. I want to be in the family of God. Pray for me." Anyone, pray for me. And best I can tell, I'm speaking to God's children. So I have a simple question tonight, church. How many Christians in this room would say, "Preacher, I need a fresh glimpse of the holiness of God. And I want God to work in me to get everything out of me that doesn't look like Jesus and make me more like the lovely Son of God." Preacher, while you're preaching tonight, the Holy Spirit stirred that hunger in my heart. I want that. I want you to raise your hand toward heaven right now. You say, "I truly desire that." If you mean it, stand to your feet. Only if you mean it. Just stand up right where you are and you say, "God's speaking to me. God's dealing with me. That's what I want. That's what I'm hungry for." If you're standing, would you look this way? It's time to seek the right way for yourself and your children and your substance. I'm going to ask her to play a little of "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way." And as she plays, would you just leave your place and come talk to the Lord in this altar right now? Just come on quickly. Find a place here to pray. And say to the Lord, "Have Thine Own Way with me, Lord. Just have Thine Own Way with me. Whatever God wants, yes, Lord, that's what I want." Oh, when God has His way, yes, it's a healing way. But that's not just so you feel better, it's a holy way. God will make you different. Oh, now take your time and talk to Him. Confess your sin. Call it by name. Call it what God calls it. Tell the Lord how wicked it is. He knows. He just wants you to agree with Him. Your lust, your pride, your self-will, your words. Oh, God, search me and know me. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, Lord, any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Would you pray this from your heart? Lord, make me like Jesus. Just make me like Jesus. And whatever you got to get out and whatever you got to put in to make that happen, do that, Lord. Would you stand with me all around as we pray, "Our Father, I ask Thee now to prune, to purge, to sanctify, to convict, Lord, just have your own way with us. For Jesus' sake. Would you look this way a moment? You know, these are unusual days for preacher and people. One thing that's a little different is you can't talk to people freely like you really want to. I thought today, just not being able to speak to everybody at the end of the service, I missed that because I really enjoy hearing people testify about how God's speaking to them and what God's doing in them. And I'm learning something. I'm learning I don't have to know. God knows what He's doing. And sometimes the greatest work God does is the work He does after we go home. I preached Wednesday night in Murfreesboro where Brother Herdman served for years, and he was telling me, he talked to a sweet lady over there, a faithful lady in their church, and God spoke to her in the meeting. I was grateful to God for that, but I never talked to her. And the next morning, she walked outside of her house and had the privilege of leading her neighbor to Christ down at the mailbox. And I thought to myself, isn't it wonderful? I mean, honestly, isn't it wonderful how God can set something in motion? I'll tell you, when God starts setting something in motion, you can't stop that. It's powerful. You know why? Because God's having His way. I hope you'll sing this song to yourself going home tonight. Just kind of hum it to yourself. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. And I hope you'll make it your prayer. How many of you read Isaiah 35 today? Would you raise your hand? You read it. Congratulations. You did your homework. Good job. Well, I want to ask you to do something with Isaiah 35 between now and tomorrow night. It's going to require you getting in a private place. I'm going to ask you if you'll read Isaiah 35 on your knees. I'm going to ask you if you'll read it in a posture, in an attitude at least, of prayer. And literally pray your way through it verse by verse. It's only 10 verses long, but don't read it. Did you hear what I just said? Don't read it. Pray your way through it. See, I think the Word should lead us to pray. When God talks to us, we should talk back. You agree with that? So I'm going to ask you to take Isaiah 35 and just talk to the Lord about what God's talking to you about. And let's pray God will put us on the highway of holiness. I want that, don't you? Now, we got two nights, Monday night, Tuesday night. And we're going to have a good time in this same chapter. And so I want you to be thinking, praying about it. Come back, bring somebody with you. And I know what tomorrow is. Tomorrow's Monday. But let's all do our best, regardless of what day it is and what happens tomorrow, to say we're going to be here tomorrow night. And we're going to come with expectant hearts, open Bibles, ready to receive what God has. Many of you got a copy of that little book this morning on revival praying, and I'm glad. And if you didn't, the folks are back there tonight. They'll be happy to help you get one. I'd like for you to get it, especially if you'll read it. And you may want to get one for somebody else that you know is burdened to see God do something in a special way. And let's all continue to pray that the Lord will have His way with us. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask Brother Dan Rogers to come up and find that song, Brother Dan, and we'll lead him in that verse, Have Thine Own Way. We probably know it well enough. I don't think we can get the words on the screen in time, but they'll probably know the first verse good enough. And also, it's good, Brother Dan, our new song leader, he and his wife come to join the church. You all think it's a good idea if the song leader was members. And you all rejoice with me. You say amen. Amen. All right. And their daughters, Ariana and Alyssa, are here many times, but they're out at other times. And so we're going to try to wrangle them in as well, just so you know. But that, what a wonderful family, Brother Dan and Miss Carmen, coming to join the church. And we're so thankful for that. And it's just a good, good time in God's house. I'm going to pray, and then Brother Dan's going to lead us in that. I'm going to pray for the moon pies. And somebody says, that's kind of sacrilegious. How does that become a carrot stick on the way down? Well, I don't know, but we're going to give it a shot. And we're talking about coming tomorrow night. We'll have another good snack. Brother Daniel, what are we having tomorrow night? We're having Coke and popcorn. White cheddar popcorn. We have a good time as you go. You say, I don't think you should eat in the church. We're sending you out with. If you don't think you should, just save it. I'll have it afterwards. So we'll have a good time together tomorrow night. We'll have you a snack on the way out. That way you can at least have something, fellowship out in the parking lot. It's a good place to be in God's house. Father, bless the snack we'll have. Thank you for it. Lord, I want to say thank you for the message that you've sent our way. Thank you for the messenger. Lord, we'll have a couple more nights of it, and Lord, we'll have an opportunity to give tomorrow night toward the love offering, and Lord, that's just a tangible way we can say thank you, but Lord, we're not worried about that right now. We're just so thankful for you meeting with us and speaking to our hearts. Bless now, we pray, as we go out, and bring us back tomorrow night, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you leave, Brother Dan's going to lead us in that. And the ushers will be this at the back door. This is our normal Sunday night offering, but you will have opportunity tomorrow night and Tuesday night to give toward the love offering for Brother Polly. We'll certainly take good care of him, but we want you to have the opportunity to add to that, and I believe it would be a blessing. We have a couple kids in college, as does he, and so he doesn't need to belabor or think for a long time where to put extra money. I know that it has a place in his two daughters at school, if I'm right. He wants to say amen from the front row, but he's not willing to. But we just want to be good to God's man. We have an opportunity to do that. Brother Dan, why don't you come and lead us in that? Maybe they did get it. Brother Jack, thank you so much. We'll sing that and then we'll go home.
Have thine own way. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. Thank you, you're dismissed.